You're listening to the Cinemaniacs, episode number 35 for October 5th, 2008. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, okay, you grin fuck, you bunch of fucking monkeys, pretty pictures, say what your space. Thank you everybody for listening to the Cinemaniacs podcast. It's your weekly movie news, reviews, and whatever else we choose podcast. My name is Walt, to my left is Jeff.
Hola.
And to my right is my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hey.
Hey, you're back. Where were you?
Oh, I had to catch up on some Z's.
Oh, right on. Partying too hard, huh, girl?
Oh, if you want to call it that.
Okay. Partying means taking care of the kids.
Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah.
Rock on. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
This week on the Cinemaniacs, we're going to be talking about Smart People, which is is several small films. Small meaning not well-known films that we're talking about this week.
Right.
Smart People came out over the summer.
That might be the biggest one of the three, huh?
Yeah. It might be.
Yeah.
Certainly the most well-known cast. The other two movies are Black Sheep.
You mean with Chris Farley?
No.
No? Good, because, boy, we were going way back for that one.
Yeah. Which I don't have a problem with going way back, but I don't know if I've even seen Black Sheep.
You ain't missing anything. Did you see Tommy Boy?
Tommy Boy,
I saw.
Okay. Then you're good.
Okay.
Okay.
And Machine Girl is the other film that we're reviewing.
All right.
So if you've heard of those three movies, then you're on top of it. And if you haven't, then you're listening to the right program. Find out, hopefully, about three good films that you should see.
Maybe.
We take you now to Kermit the Frog with another fast-breaking news story.
So listen, to keep talking about this, the case of Benjamin Button, Brad Pitt's big feature film coming out this fall, this winter, that is getting a lot of Oscar talk about it.
Right.
And Brad Pitt, he plays a guy, he starts off like 80 years old, and he works his way, instead of aging regular, he ages backwards down to a baby.
Ah.
And it's kind of got that Robert Zemeckis feel to it, like Forrest Gump, they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about Brad Pitt, like I said, Oscar nominations. And they don't talk about the director of this film, which I think should get equal talk. That is David Fincher.
Oh.
So... I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. No, I love Fincher, man.
David Fincher and Brad Pitt have teamed up for Seven and Fight Club, and this is not at all a movie like that, which has me even more intrigued.
Absolutely.
And speaking of Brad Pitt, Miss Angelina Jolie, Mrs. Pitt, if you will.
Right.
Well, actually, they're not married.
No, they're not. No.
Well, she's not Mrs. Pitt then. But she is in The Changeling, which is Clint Eastwood's movie this year, and he always gets Oscar nominations for him and his actors.
That's right, yeah.
So they could be like odd opposites, best actress, best actor. Actor.
That's right. No, I've seen the trailers for both. They both look really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I'll have my butt in my theater seat.
Yeah, you say that.
All right, yeah, I say that.
I think the last film you saw in the theater was, we saw Burn After Reading.
Yeah.
And before that was Dark Knight for you, right?
Yeah, twice.
Twice. IMAX lover. Not that I have anything wrong with that.
Yeah, no, IMAX experiencer.
Right. Yeah. not that big of a difference.
No, not for the ticket price. Anyhow,
so we got Smart People we're talking about this week, which was directed by Noam Muro and Marc Poirier.
Poirier. Poirier. I don't know.
This is the only film credit that they've written or directed, but it stars Dennis Quaid. We know from such movies as Inner Space and Vantage Point over the summer.
Right?
Yep. Or springtime when it was. And Thomas Hayden Church, who I know best from Ned and Stacy, the TV show. I think most people know him from Wings, but he was in Sideways. He was Sandman in Spider-Man 3.
Right.
Ellen Page from Juno. She plays Dennis Quaid's daughter.
Yep.
And Sarah Jessica Parker, the girl from Sex and the City most people know. Also know her as Matthew Broderick's wife.
Yep.
Okay, so Dennis Quaid is a college professor, and like I said, Ellen Page is his daughter. They're hoity-toity in the fact that they think they're all that because they're pretty smart.
They're very smart, and they're attuned to that, and they've become kind of intellectual snobs about it. Combine that with the fact that they've, you know, that he's a widower, so they've both lost somebody, you know, fairly important to him, you know, and... So he's really kind of detached from, you know...
The real world?
Not even the real world, just people.
You know, from people.
He's in the real world and around people, and he just more or less puts up with them.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
It's actually pretty interesting. Like, they start out the movie, you know, he's talking to his class, and he's like, "Well, let's get to know you." And this Asian girl is like, "You know, I've been in like three or four of your classes. You know, like, you don't even know my name." You know, that's really how, you know, kind of where he's really kind of just coasting.
Yes, and apparently he has a problem with parking.
Yeah,
he parks in weird places and crookedly, and but he's gotten, of course, parking tickets. This is on the college campus to the point that he gets his car towed.
Right.
Somewhat fortunately, Thomas Hayden Church, which is his brother, shows up. He's asking for money or a loan. You know, he probably just got out of prison or something.
Right. It's his adopted brother.
Yeah, his half brother.
No, adopted brother.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
His adopted brother. Yeah. Because that actually plays part later in the movie.
His adopted brother.
Right.
So he gets his car. Dennis Quaid gets his car taken away, his driver's license taken away. His brother, even though he's a mooch, he shows up, and now he can taxi him around.
Right.
Dennis Quaid
he's
around.
Pretty much going to be his chauffeur.
Chauffeur, and he's going to live in his house with him.
Yep. And the hijinks ensue.
Ah, yeah.
So she, I mean, Ellen Page is studying for SAT, and, you know, so she can go into a good school.
Right.
And Sarah Jessica Parker is a love interest for Dennis Quaid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually pretty good. I mean, I don't know if we're describing it. I'm watching this movie thinking Squid and the Whale. I don't know if you saw that with Jeff Daniels, Noah Baumbach film, which was just totally amazingly fantastic. I was riveted to the screen every minute.
Right.
Smart People, not as good, but still very good.
Yeah, I liked the movie. I liked what I really liked was these people, these characters that are so intellectually superior that they've actually become kind of socially inept. They don't, you know, they just don't know how to interact with normal people anymore.
Yeah, they're very arrogant.
Yeah. And yet, you know, like I said, as smart as they are, they still come across as likable. You know, they're not completely unlikable. They have decent, you know, they have goodnesses about them and everything like that, but they're, you know, the most interesting part is how you could be so smart and yet still be kind of pathetic, kind of sad, you know.
That's what I love is the pathetic, pathetic characters. They really just intrigue me, and that's what I loved about it was the interaction between all of them.
Yeah, no, rock solid casting, and everybody, you know, did a great job.
Good
they really
performances,
did.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good performances.
These are people that must have read the script and just liked their characters so much, and just came in and did it. I mean, just on top of it.
Yeah.
Really were everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, you could tell that for everybody involved, it seemed like they really enjoyed doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I give this movie 4 stars.
Yeah, me too, easily.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
So 4 is for smart people.
Yeah, go see it. Rent it.
Another movie that came out on DVD was Black Sheep. Now, the way that we found out about this film was watching Death Proof, Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse movie, and when we watched it again on DVD, that this was one of the trailers before the movie started. Now, anybody that knows how the Grindhouse film worked in the theaters, they had fake trailers.
Right.
And this Black Sheep movie is about sheep. It's set in New Zealand, and for whatever reason, they start attacking the people.
Yes, the sheep are revolting.
The sheep are revolting.
They're revolting.
And they're having their revolution in the most gruesome way you can imagine. I was shocked when you showed me a DVD case. You handed this to me, and I'm like, wait a minute, that was a fake trailer.
We really thought it was a fake trailer when we watched it, but it's a real movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jonathan King, who is a brand new writer-director as far as getting anything made goes from New Zealand, he, like I said, wrote and directed this movie, and it doesn't star anybody that you've probably heard of before. They've done small things in New Zealand, with the exception of Peter Feeney, who was in 30 Days of Night.
Bet you couldn't name who he was, though, could you?
No.
I think he's one of the vampires.
Yeah, could be. I got to tell you, there was literally only in this movie one credit that I recognize, and that was Weta Workshop.
Well, the special effects company?
Yeah, effects done by Weta Workshop. That was it, you know.
And that's because Weta is Peter Jackson's company, or works so closely with him?
Yeah, Peter. Yeah, well, it's Peter Jackson's company, and when you think about it, it almost seems a little weird, because when you first think about it, because you think Lord of the Rings and all these major effects, but you think about it, Peter Jackson started off making movies just like this.
Yeah, the B-gore.
Absolutely. So you know that's where Weta started. So this is probably more like, you know, like a homecoming for them. That, you know,
oh.
I bet they had a lot of fun. I think they had a lot of fun making this because it seems to show.
That's what it looks like,
It looked like it showed with the just the craziness of the sheep.
So far-fetched.
They were
if you are into B-movies... Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
Oh, this is as B as it gets, man.
It was
this
too much
B plus.
I know. It wasn't that bad.
No. Nah.
You know, these two brothers, they grow up on their farm. Their father dies from had an accident when they were very young. And that involved a sheep. Well, the brother kind of scared the younger brother with a sheep parts,
right,
so to speak. So he's kind of terrified of sheep. He went and left the farm, but now they're selling the farm, or they've made a deal, and so the younger brother comes back to town to collect on his money, and where the older brother now, he's like a scientist type of thing.
Genetic engineer.
Yeah. And so they've made this perfect sheep, and you can see where this is going. We've already said B-movie, horror movie, that along the ways there's some of these sheep, for lack of a better word, they're like rabid sheep, and they start attacking everybody.
Yep.
But it's so fun, and it is so B-movie.
Totally,
and
genetics
campy.
Gone wrong.
Oh, it goes brutal. Perfect. It goes perfect with the Grindhouse movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that this was just fun, over-the-top stuff.
Yeah.
It's one of the stupidest movies I've ever loved. I absolutely love this movie. It was great.
It is gory. It is campy. I mean, they say the most ridiculous things. Of course, we have a link to the trailer on our website that if you watch it, if you can get into the trailer, you will absolutely just have fun with this movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, don't take a moment of it too seriously. Just, you know, shut down and have fun.
That's it. This is pure entertainment value.
Oh, yeah.
Silliness.
Hokey goodness.
Solid 4 stars for me.
Oh, cheesetastic 5 for me, baby. Wow. I had so much fun. I laughed my ass off watching this movie.
Yeah, I give it a 4.
Yeah.
This was great. Black Sheep.
Yep.
Not the Chris Farley one.
No. Don't even bother with that.
And finally this week, we came across Machine Girl. Now, we've watched the trailer online for this movie for quite some time.
We've been waiting a while for this one.
And we put it in the DVD player and start playing it, and it's got the English dubbing going.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
It was so painful.
We had to stop it immediately. It was very, very bad. I mean, this is going to be a B-movie already, but at least give an effort, and that dubbing was so bad.
We all simultaneously went, somebody do something.
Oh, it was great. Well, first we're like, because we normally will do that. We normally watch foreign movies in their native languages with the subtitles, and I think we were just feeling a little lazy. We were like, we don't feel like reading, you know, let's just, you know, how bad could it be? Oh, dear Lord.
It was painful.
Literally, Walt, I think, was it Walt that started it?
No,
it was you. It was you. You're like, I don't think I could do this. And then Walt's like, I was just about to pause it. And I'm like, I was just about to say, we can't do this.
We all like high five, man.
Yeah, I mean, never had three souls come more into sync in one moment in the history of soul syncing. That was great. So, you know, we made our quick adjustment. And
we put it back into his Japanese language, right?
Yep.
And with the subtitles, and it was fantastic from then on.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
I mean, this was just pure fun and goodness. Here's a girl, Ami, I believe is how you pronounce her name.
Yeah, Ami. Yeah.
And she gets into a situation where she gets attacked and loses her arm. I mean, I'm kind of briefing the story. You're looking at me funny. Did that not happen?
No, you're really, really summarizing. It takes a while for her to lose her arm.
It's a vengeance kind of.
Yeah, but that's when the fun happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the fun got.
Well, it starts out where she's sticking up for some kid.
Yeah, some kid.
Her brother.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that was her brother.
That was her brother.
Movie starts off with her brother is being attacked from some bullies at school, and she shows up and says, "Hey, you guys, stop doing that." And when it was in English, it was really, really horrible.
Right.
But
oh, no, that kid wasn't her brother. That was just some kid.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Yeah, that wasn't her brother. Okay, I'm sorry. I totally forgot the beginning. Because
she was doing vengeance kill because
they start off actually already after some stuff has happened, and then they flash back.
Right.
I gotcha.
Because with those bullies, it's all people better watch out for your bullies. Yeah.
Right. Because it was told it started off
almost
there.
Reverse.
But then it went back.
Right, right.
And showed how she got her powers, so to speak. You know, we talked about Grindhouse. I mentioned it several times in this episode, but the Planet Terror version of it has that girl that has a machine gun for a leg.
Right.
And this was kind of a take on that. I don't know which came out first or which idea.
Right.
But this girl had her arm could be a machine gun or you know, there's several tools to attachments
right.
on there. Right. And I say that because I'm not ruining any part of the story. You're going in here, like Black Sheep, to just enjoy and just see silly stuff. This is gory.
Yep.
It's funny.
But it's not terribly realistic gore. It's Japanese gore. And that's
spray
which
is splatter.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Again, to mention Tarantino, you think about Kill Bill, the first version. With
and they
blood
even make
splattering.
References.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, anytime a limb gets chopped off, you pretty much got a spray of blood coming out for about the next 10 minutes.
Like a sprinkler on the lawn.
Exactly. It's great.
That.
Oh, I know.
Ultraviolet.
And just that sound. You know, it's just great.
I love that.
Again, pure fun. I give it 4 stars.
I'll give it 4 stars, too, because some of the effects were just so great. I mean, there's, like, really no story to speak. That and the retarded Yakuza son. I mean, he's not supposed to be retarded, but the way the kid plays him, he's always got his mouth open like he's drawing flies. And that was just so funny to me.
The Yakuza son is, like, the head of the
bullies. He's the
prince.
He's the leader bully kid, and he's just so damn goofy. Every time he come on, I just couldn't stop laughing.
But
this movie is a lot of fun. Over-the-top effects, you know, crazy stunt,
over the top.
Crazy stunt work, you know, and just...
The stunt work is really something that we should talk about because they were doing flips and turns and stuff. I mean, they had a lot of wires going on here.
Sure.
And it was good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it. Lisa?
Oh, yeah. You should watch this movie if you're into all this hokey goodness. It was great. A lot of fun.
You even had a reference to your absolute favorite kung fu movie ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that flying guillotine reference. Yeah. How awesome is that?
Had that. Had references to Kill Bill.
Oh, I know.
It was awesome.
Yep.
It was great.
This movie, the last two movies we talked about this week, Black Sheep and Machine Girl, are definitely not movies for everybody.
No.
Oh, no, no, no.
But if you like that kind of thing, you know, we all gave 4s and even a 5-star.
Yeah,
I give it a 4.
And Smart People then is for the intellectuals of our crowd.
Absolutely. And then, you know, then there's the ones like us, man. There's people out there that are like us that love it on both spectrums, you know? And
the intellectual listeners of us and the people who want to have fun and everything in between.
Yeah.
So we got some emails that I said in an earlier episode that I wanted to talk about more of them on the air. And so here I finally remembered.
All right.
We have an email here from Joshua in Spokane, Washington. And he says he loves the show, but he'd like to see more or listen. Like to see more movies with cars in them and maybe some boobies. So... This week's show didn't have either of them, I'm sorry to say.
No, sorry,
Joshua.
No cars, no cars worth mentioning, you know. And
right.
Yeah, no boobies.
Hmm.
All right, how about a movie with cars and boobies? What do you think?
What is that, Russ Meyer?
Something, man.
Hey, that would work.
There we go.
I could see that happening.
What was it, Death Race or whatever?
Didn't
Race have cars and then boobies?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. There you go. So Joshua, go see Death Race. You'll see cars and boobies, dude.
I don't know about the new one, but yeah.
No, the old one. I'm talking about the old one.
You know, there's a couple episodes back when we talked about Hell Ride, and that had plenty of boobies in it.
It didn't have any
cars. It was
motorcycles.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that, Joshua.
There you go.
And then we got another email from Brent in Anaheim,
mm-hmm.
and He too liked war games. Good man, Brent. I see your taste in movies and your taste in podcasts is both equally excellent.
Way to suck up to our listeners, Walt.
Hell yeah.
All right. You want to tell him how handsome he is, too?
But he likes not only war games, but he likes a lot of computer movies, and he was wondering what some of our favorite hacker films were.
Well, Hackers.
Yeah, that's a great movie, Hackers.
Hackers was pretty good.
Come on. Hackers is great.
I haven't seen it since I saw it in the movie theater, and it was good. Angelina Jolie and that guy.
Yeah.
It was all right. It was like a modern-day Whiz Kids, the TV show Whiz Kids, which I loved.
Yeah.
This was like a modern thing with like the punk rockers and stuff. So I'll have to watch it again to get back into it.
It's a movie that holds up. It's one of our friend Bill's favorite movies. It might be his favorite movie of all time.
Oh, no,
get out of here.
No, that'd be Highlander.
Next to the Highlander series.
Yeah,
oh, my
Highlander.
Goodness gracious. It's
a distinct possibility. Okay.
Besides War Games, the first hacker movie that comes to mind is Sneakers.
I was about to just say that, Sneakers.
What about Die Hard, this last one?
The last Die Hard we all loved.
Yeah, Live Free or Die Hard.
All about hackers.
That was great.
Actually, here in the last couple of years, I've been coming across movies that I hadn't seen before. One is called Cypher, which is very good. That involves computer hacking, as well as Trackdown, which is based on a true story, Kevin Mitnick, if I'm not mistaken, but that is real computer break-ins and espionage. Hmm. Trackdown and Cypher, they're both available from Netflix, that I love.
Right on. Cool. Well, there you go.
Yeah. And then on a different note, we had a email from Cassandra in Pahrump.
All right.
And she is...
What?
Well, she said we talk a lot about these violent movies, which this episode pretty much was about. And she
Smart people. That was ultra-violent. Well, anyway,
she would like to see more family films. So hear us talk about more family films.
Well, I think we... Well, you know what? We could probably include that more. I think we do on occasion when we can. Right.
Son of Rambo was one that comes to mind. We talked about that not too long ago.
Yeah, the Star Wars Clone Wars movie.
Star Wars Clone Wars. Cassandra, to be honest with you, if you go way back in our episodes, one of our alpha or beta episodes, it probably shouldn't even be online, but I think it still is, we had what we called our Cine Mini on, which was our daughter Rachel, and she was on the air, and we talked about that. Gosh, I don't want to say Shrek, but some other family film.
Right.
And our original goal with Cinemaniacs was to periodically have the Cine Mini on. We have several kids in our family that would come on and talk about it. And, in fact, we did record a summer recap. The kids were out of school this summer for 3 months, and this is the first time it's ever happened for them. We always went to a year-round school here in Las Vegas. The schools, they go for 9 weeks, then out for three. Not all the schools. Hence, we moved to the other side of town, and they got the whole summer off. So we went to the movies quite a bit.
Yeah.
More than our fair share. And we have a summer recap of that I just haven't finished editing and put online yet. Anyways, in that, they talk about some family films. So be on the lookout for that, Cassandra. Don't give up hope.
Thank you, everybody, for sending their emails. That was fantastic.
It is. If you'd like to send in your email, podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. You can visit our website at thecinemaniacs.com, and that'll wrap it up for this week. Although I have to say that next week, Body of Lies comes out, that Ridley Scott movie.
Wow.
So we'll be touching upon that and a couple other movies.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to The Cinemaniacs. Have a good night.
Night.
Bye.
The feminine half of Brangelina. Oh, God, I can't believe I said that.
I can't believe you said that. I know.
We won't make it to the air, that's for sure.
I hope not. There you go. There's a sound test for you.
As long as you don't do a smell test, we'll be all right. Damn it, there's no rum in my Coke.
No tequila in my squirt either.
Gotta do the...
Can't believe you guys are making me podcast sober. Ain't right, I tells you.
Yeah, well, gotta comply.
Yeah, man. He's a taskmaster.
We have to save it for the Halloween podcast.
That's right.
Actually, the 100th episode.
You gonna drink on the 100th episode?
I'm not.
Come on!
No.
Come on! No. She get totally wasted on the 100th episode.
We'll make him some daiquiris.
There you go. We'll tell him they're virgin.
Yeah, I know the difference. I've been telling him that for the last 15 years.
I was gonna say, I know the difference between a virgin and not.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. I think I unplugged my shit.
Right. Hot dog down a hallway, anyone?
Yeah.
And then you'll wonder why I'm just quietly sitting here until you guys are done.
You done yet? Jesus Christ.
If I don't be funny, I won't make you laugh.
That's just it.
What's that?
That's when you are funny.
Oh, shit. That was good. I knew there was a reason I come around here. Huh.